This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
For coming, whether it's the first time for you or you've been here again and again and again, we got the cheap red carpet rolled out for you. But hey, I mean, just picture in your mind, we vacuumed it. We had it vacuumed today. So it was all about looking shiny and pretty, and it was about the State of the Union address, the first one for President Biden. And in his first State of the Union speech, he talked a little bit about what was happening in the Ukraine. That's what he opened up with, and talked about, you know, Putin and the oligarchs and the economic squeezes that were being put on Russia. But most of the speech did not focus on that. The one thing he did say, which I think should have happened sooner, but it officially, I guess, became it at that moment, banning Russia from U.S. airspace because of the Ukraine, so vowing to make Vladimir Putin pay a price for Russia's invasion of Ukraine, and, you know, said that was one of the things that was happening, and of course there was a lot of applause over that, and there was bipartisan, if you want to say that, applause there in the chamber. So in addition to recounting U.S. and allied economic sanctions against Russia, he planned to announce that the U.S. is following Canada and the European Union in doing what I just said, banning Russian planes from airspace. That's the retaliation for the invasion of the Ukraine, right? So it's interesting that Tuesday night remarks, that would be the highlight, I suppose, of that part of it, crippling Russia's economy through sanctions and warning that there would be consequences, that his aggression, Putin's aggression, there would be a history lesson here that we've learned that dictators do not pay a price for their aggression. They cause more chaos. They keep moving, and the costs and threats to America and the world keep rising. And, you know, even before the Russian invasion, talking about rising costs, we saw energy costs skyrocket, and they have been rising. And with the COVID-19 pandemic, of course, the economy, inflation is crippling in so many areas, and especially when it comes to gas and food, and we've certainly talked about that. There were moments in the speech that he talked about that. But the broader, I think, aspect of what was talked about in the State of the Union is from Biden, is it was the push for Build Back Better. You know, that was that heavy price tag bill that was what he wanted to push through and did not. He got pushed back from even some Democrats because it had such a heavy price tag, $2.3 trillion, and it included child care and green energy and lots of other pieces to it that had the heavy price tag on it. And as I said many times on this show, there's no way that's passing. There's no way. And Joe Manchin became the senator from West Virginia became the thorn in the side, really, of President Biden when it came to that. So that was a lot of focus, not said that way, but that was really what a lot of he focused on, talking about those various issues and talking about you know, schools, talking about the effect on Americans. And again, it was that agenda that he had that did not work. So of course there was a Republican response to the State of the Union, as there's always a response, whoever the president is. So this time, of course, was a GOP response. And the governor of Iowa, Kim Reynolds, gave the response, and she talked about a couple of things and saying that the Biden administration believes inflation is a high-class problem. And she said, I can tell you it's an everyday problem. And she said, I saw moms and dads' paychecks buy them less and less. I watched working people choosing which essentials to take home and which ones to leave behind at the register. And now President Biden's decisions have a whole new generation feeling that same pain. And talked about, instead of, I think this is the main thrust of what she said, instead of moving America forward, it feels like President Biden and his party have sent us back in time to the late 70s and early 80s, when runaway inflation was hammering families, a violent crime wave was crashing on our cities, and the Soviet Army was trying to redraw the world map. And she said, Americans need to stand unified in solidarity with the brave people of the Ukraine. We all agree on that, as they courageously defend their country against Putin's tyranny. And that would be the one area that, of course, Biden talked about, too, as well. So to me, that was the main theme of, again, of what he had to of what he had to say in the State of the Union. I think it's what you would have expected. So plenty of reaction to the State of the Union address, and some of it has been on a moment where he stumbled, and he meant to say Ukrainians, and he said Iranians instead, and that was tweeted out all over the place by lots and lots of different people. But that was the one moment that he really took a slam for the gaffe, like people saying, the gaffe, the moment. Did he know? I know, whatever. But the key thrust, again, was build back better. And that was the initiative that he wanted to go through, and it didn't. And the key swing vote was Senator Joe Manchin, as you all know. And he criticized Biden for calling for passage of a laundry list of items from that bill. And he was even asked, Manchin, if he's surprised by the inclusion of so many items in the State of the Union. And he said, no, not really. They can't help themselves. And he was also asked if he considered Manchin, if he considered the bill dead, and he said there might be parts they want to talk about. I don't know. That was just too far. And that was, again, the thrust of what was, I think, the point of what the State of the Union was going to be. The focus, a lot of the focus, was there. And this is certainly a president who is struggling with his approval ratings, and who has still plenty of time left in office, and the economy is what people look at. You look at what's going on in your world, and can you afford to live? Can you afford to put gas in your car? And that's a lot of how I think Americans judge. And then also what's happening when it comes to being perceived on the world stage. So what kind of grade would you give the president? I'm curious. We're starting an unofficial poll for the State of the Union. Would you give him, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the best, 1 being the worst, what would you give him? Send me your thoughts. KateDelaneyRadio.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
No matter if supply lines are down, product deliveries are slow, and that most everything costs more these days. You still have neck and shoulder pain, right? Good news. Sunny Bay has new products that target neck and shoulder pain. Products that are in stock now, ready to ship anywhere now. Like our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. You can heat them in a microwave oven, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. And for stress relief, get our lavender scented hands-free neck wraps. Or maybe you need one of our smaller lower back wraps. Great for seniors. Again, there's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find our new products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay neck wraps. All our products are great for men or women, are reusable, and easy to clean. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay neck wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast. From Sunny Bay.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You too can order or get info about the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original pure Pau D'Arco and drink super tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113.
Coming up, there's Fair or Foul. It's in the air, and I know that Jeremy Paulson is going to join us. I know that he is mic'd up at the mothership. Yes, Paulson. He is with us, as you can hear. So thank you, Jeremy, for coming on. We're going to talk a little Fair or Foul. And this is a big one for a lot of people that are listening. You know, you can't pick your neighbors, and sometimes you move into a neighborhood and you've scraped and scrimped and, oh, yay, I'm excited, I'm in a new house or I'm in a new condo or I'm just in my apartment and I can afford it and this is great. And it's good for a while, and then somebody new moves in and they have dogs that bark constantly, and you hear it constantly at all different times of the day, and it's become so horrible for some people. They've sadly gone out of their mind and poisoned dogs, or they call the cops, or try to do whatever else they can, and there's only so much the cops can do about it, especially if the dog is in the house, and you can hear it, or the apartment, or the condo. Then when you have shared walls, that becomes tough. So fair or foul, neighbors barking dogs where they don't really do much about it, And it's a nuisance, or is it a nuisance or too bad? Fair or foul? What do you say?
I would say foul because they're not doing anything about it. But I'm a huge dog person. I mean, dogs are gonna bark. They're gonna bark. They're dogs.
They are gonna bark. You're absolutely right, and I agree with you. I think it's.
I grew up with four dogs,
so you know, inside dogs.
funny story. Okay, so when I was a kid, I begged my mom for a dog, and they got a dog that my grandma had in a litter. And then she surprised me with another dog, you know, because that dog was lonely. Well, those were, one was a lab and one was a Springer Spaniel. So they're like, they're too big. They're outside dogs. So they wanted to get a little house dog. Well, then he's too lonely because he's inside by himself. So then they had to get another little house. So we had two outside dogs and two inside dogs.
Oh, and who barked more, the inside ones or the outside ones?
Definitely the inside ones. But we had definitely had the same issue. Like, our neighbors would constantly, you know, get mad about our dogs barking all the time. And they would get out, and the dog catcher would, like, try to find our dogs on purpose and stuff.
Oh.
It's horrible.
Yeah, so you had to deal with that. And it is horrible when you're on the other side of it, too. But it's horrible that they're barking all the time. And I'm a dog person, and we have dogs, solo dogs. This is, I didn't grow up with dogs, but this is my second dog, and he's pretty good. I mean, we watch him. I don't let him howl out in the backyard forever. If a squirrel's annoying him or something, you're right, they're going to bark. If he's out roaming the backyard patrolling, I get him. I don't let that happen, but, you know, occasionally if something's going on, again, the taunting of the crazy squirrels, he could be in the house and that he could go on for a bit, but I just stop it because I know that it's a nuisance and I don't want to be annoying to the neighbors and I love my dog and I don't want issues. But I don't have four dogs. So you had a situation that was very unique with four dogs.
That's one of the dreams in my life, to own a little land and do a dog rescue.
Yeah. Oh, that's so good.
Yeah.
A dog rescue.
I'm not gonna afford it, but yeah, it'd be great.
Wow, no kidding. I have a friend. We'll have her on the air sometime, and she's in the Houston area, and she's got a dog rescue. But she also rescues some other animals too. But it's amazing. And she didn't think she could realize that dream either, but it happened. And she does amazing things for dogs and animals. And she's got some land, and it works. And then
yeah, exactly.
And so nobody's worried about that. And then they're adopted out, and it's a wonderful thing because they have a big problem with dogs being abandoned and all kinds of sad things. Yeah. Wow. Well, that turned into something nice. Okay, skiing. Do you ski, or have you ever skied?
No. Uh-huh. I've tried. I'm not good.
And you're lousy at it, huh? Jeremy Paulson. Mm. So that's why I think you should call me Kate Delaney from now on. You call me so anyway. Listen, I get called Delancey, Delooney, Delaney. I mean, my name gets butchered more than
I'll go sledding.
Sledding. You'll go sledding. I like sledding. Sledding's fun. When you're a kid and you go sledding and you're, you know, on your flexible flyer or the coaster or whatever it is, and you fly down the hill, seems like it's so
reminds
big. Reminds
me of Christmas Vacation on the little, saucer.
Yes, that's what it is. It's a saucer. That's what it is. We did that one time for people listening, if they can relate to this. They hear about the Poconos because I grew up outside of Philadelphia, and we went to the Poconos, and I had a friend whose family had a house there, and it was the best. There was maybe four or five of us. We were in high school, and I'm sure this was so dangerous, but they let us do it. We were out on snowmobiles and had the coaster, the little, we call the saucer, that was on a rope tied to the back of two of the snowmobiles, and we were flying along on those coasters.
You have to be careful when it's tied to the rope. You're supposed to just hold the rope.
Right.
Just
right.
In case you can get away.
Yes, you can let go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, probably wasn't very smart of us. One of my more dangerous moments. But skiing, I have skied too. I'm not a great skier, but I was okay at one point in my life, but skiing on real snow versus man-made snow, now that's what when you're not getting snow, that's what a lot of the places had to do. They had to go to man-made snow. It's so crazy.
Isn't it the same, though?
It would feel
the same.
I think it kind of feels the same. I think the thing that's different and is yucky when you're just amateur person skiing is when you ski on ice. Oh, that's the worst.
Okay.
You know, because it freezes or it's icy, and that's not powdery snow like in Colorado or wherever. I did that in Killington, Vermont, and I'm lucky I didn't kill myself. That was just like, I wish I was sledding on a saucer, and I had a rope that was tied to the back of a snowmobile. I probably would have been safer. It was so scary. It was so fast. And it wasn't fun. It wasn't fun when it was like that. So I would take man-made snow, I'd say fair to that, or real snow over anything with ice on it. All right, how about this? You know, this goes back to the neighbor thing again, your neighbors and how they keep their yard and everything else. Here's the thing. If you get in some of these big HOAs, it's crazy the money you have to pay into some of them. And then also, they're so picky about what can be in a yard, what does it look like. But maybe in some cases, if it was like kind of one of the medium HOAs where you didn't have to pay a lot, and maybe you paid a one-time fee. Like where I live, it's a voluntary deal, and one of the things they do that's cool is the Boy Scouts come and put flags out on Flag Day and Veterans Day and 4th of July and all of that. And it doesn't cost that much. It's like $25 or whatever it is, maybe $50. But the thing about neighborhoods is it goes to the neighbors again. What happens if you have, hey, the neighborhood looks pretty decent, right? And you've got people that have giant boats in the driveway. Like, that's it. They got their cars, and then they got a giant boat in the driveway. Or they have a broken-down car that just doesn't quite get fixed. It's on blocks. Is that fair or foul?
It's their property. I feel like it's fair. They can do whatever they want.
It's fair because everyone in my neighborhood has their cars on blocks, and I'm okay with it, Jeremy Paulson. So I'm going to say.
I mean, it's not in my driveway. Like, if it was in my driveway, I'd be kind of mad about it.
And plus, you have all the barking dogs, and you're annoying the neighbors anyway in this scenario, so you can't complain. So it's like, no,
Broken down cars everywhere, a bunch of barking dogs. Like, it's not a big deal.
It's not a big deal.
They'll live with it.
It's funny. This is a big issue for people, too. I don't know. I don't know that I would want a lot of broken down cars all over the place, but I do agree that I'm a nice neighbor. Listen, let people live. So I'm who am I to criticize what people are doing? I'm your cool neighbor. I'll say hi to you. I'm not trying to.
If they're like having a giant party like
yes,
every other night.
That would be
you
it.
Know, or like every, you know, weekend they have to have a ginormous party. Like,
right.
That would get annoying. Yes.
I agree with that. That would be the thing.
You can't control barking dogs. And you can't get mad about stuff on their property.
Right,
I mean,
right.
It's their own. They want a disgusting yard. You can't be mad that they have a disgusting yard.
You know what? I agree. You can't. It might annoy you if you pumped a lot of money into your own yard and that was your pride and joy. But, oh, well, that's. It goes back to
it's
the same thing.
It's still your pride and joy.
It's still your pride and joy, and it's your yard. I agree. The party thing would be bad. If you had somebody that had a party every night, even if you're invited and you just need to get some shut-eye, oh, that would be annoying. Absolutely. All right, we agreed on a bunch of this. Jeremy Paulson, thank you so much.
Okay, Kate Delaney.
Every day we take steps to keep the people we love safe, but some health risks are easy to miss. Ticks hiding in the yard can spread germs, like the ones that cause Lyme disease. Mice searching for food can spread bacteria that makes us sick. Mosquitoes lay eggs in standing water and can spread West Nile virus and more. Cockroaches are drawn to water in the home, leaving behind allergens that can trigger asthma attacks. Common pests can threaten our health. Learn how to protect your family at pestworld.org.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
U.S. USA Radio News.
The International Energy Agency's 31 member countries agreed Tuesday to release 60 million barrels of oil from their strategic reserves. Half of those reserves will come from the U.S. The members say the move is a message to the oil markets that supplies won't fall short as Russia continues its invasion of Ukraine. President Joe Biden delivered his first State of the Union speech on Tuesday night, touching on a topic impacting most American families.
Inflation is robbing them of gains they thought otherwise they would be able to feel. I get it.
Biden's speech comes as a new NPR PBS Marist College poll shows that 56% of Americans are calling Biden's first year in office a failure. And the Dow fell nearly 600 points. On Tuesday, you're listening to USA Radio News. The 2020 election is still making news in Wisconsin. Tim Berg reports.
Former Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman wants the state to look into decertifying the 2020 election results. Gableman presenting the findings of his election investigation to Wisconsin lawmakers. He says the point of the investigation is to spur future legislative changes. His report also finding that Mark Zuckerberg's group paid for illegal drop boxes to be placed in Democratic voting strongholds and that ineligible voters remained on the voting rolls in the state, which is illegal.
On Tuesday, a new CDC report showed Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine gave children 5 and older strong protection against hospitalization and death, even during the Omicron surge. A day earlier, a study from New York raised the question of whether the vaccine is less effective in kids ages 5 to 11. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, simulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
I'm pleased to take you to London for a conversation with Cliff Britton. He is, quite an adventurer, I would say, because he's traveled all over the world. And then he's written about it. It's in his poetry and his prose. And his book is called Quarters, Poetry and Prose. And it is, as he told me, and he'll tell you, he thinks it's the book that any of us could pick up for the everyday person and relate to some of what he's experienced and how he's beautifully been able to, put it into that poetry and weave it into those words that he's been able to put on the page. And also, he's been able to do that with audio, too. So I'm going to say this at the top because I don't want to forget. Britton, B-R-I-T-T-E-N, of London.co.uk. You can go there, and you can also hear Cliff. And I'm thrilled to have him on. So, Cliff, thanks for coming on the show.
Welcome.
Tell me about your adventures. I mean, traveling all over the world, there's not too many people who can say they've done that. There's not too many people that, even in America, Americans who can say they've gone coast to coast across America. Then you went all over Mexico. Did you always have, like, that wanderlust or that desire to travel?
Yeah, I didn't actually go all over Mexico, but I did travel vastly across the USA, you know, north to south and width-wise. As for all over the world, there's lots of places I haven't been, but yeah, I'd love to travel, and I want to continue that even now. So yeah, that's something I love, and it's inspired me to write poetry.
And has it been because you've been to these amazing places, and then you've witnessed different kinds of people? Is it kind of all of that in one?
It's just adventures you have. Like you could be just sitting on a Greyhound bus and then somebody speaks to you and it inspires you to write something. Or you could be walking along somewhere in New York and you see something and you think, yes, I've got to write about that. Because otherwise it's lost. So I just used to try and capture the moment in a poem with a sort of little bit of an edge to it.
Yeah, and oh yeah, and you can see that in what you've written, absolutely. So in pulling together this book, and you've written two books, by the way, besides this book, plus a children's book, and you have a really cool name for your next one coming out, Lockdown London, which I can only imagine what that's about. But how did you decide what was going to make it in the book and what didn't make it in the book?
Well, it's a difficult process because I've got over 100 poems that I've written in the last year or so during lockdown, and it's going to be a bit laborious for a poetry book. I'd like to put about 60 poems in a book like that because my poems are quite short. Maybe they last a minute to narrate. So I'd go through them all, and then some would get missed the cut and some would make it.
Yeah.
Just to make a really interesting, you know, scenario of different stories from lockdown.
Yeah. And I suppose this is hard, but do you have a favorite poem that you've written, one that just really kind of sticks with you?
I suppose there's a poem I wrote about 10 years ago, which is called I Am London, which we made into a film, which is on my website. So because it was made into a film about London as a person, London was a person, it wasn't a place, and all of the anxiety that it suffered. And, you know, I'm really proud of that one because it was made into a film.
Yeah,
only
wow.
Only a short film, probably a minute and a half long. But, yeah.
All right, that's something for people to look for to get it on that site. Yeah.
Yeah, it's on the website. Yeah, there's a couple of films on there, the poems we've done, I've done. And my friend who's a filmmaker has helped.
When people read your poetry, what do you hope they take away from, like, this collection of poetry, Quarters?
Well, I hope that they can relate to that I just hope they can relate to it, because basically it's about the everyman. It's about everyone's experienced what I've experienced, I think. And if I could touch a nerve with them and they could make them cry or laugh, or just connect with someone, because I know that when I read stuff, you know, from musicians I love, like Nick Drake and Nick Cave, David Bowie, that some of the stuff they write really touches me, and that's what I want to try and do for my poetry.
Yeah. Is there just, you know, you get inspired, obviously, by traveling and the things that you see in London. Is there a time, like, do you have a set time, like, hey, every day I have this rattling around in my head and I'm going to make sure I get it down? Because a lot of times people are inspired, but they just can't get it down on the paper, and obviously you can.
I find it difficult to write poetry if someone says, oh, can you write a poem? I have to sort of be inspired by something. What's helped me in the last year or so is that my friend started a radio station in London, and it was called Lockdown Radio, and I used to submit a poem every week, so I had to come up with something. So I had to try and be inspired every week, and it was tough at times, but I managed to do it. So I managed to write a poem every week for this radio show.
Yeah, so Lockdown Radio, that's interesting. You have some interesting friends that do films, friends that are in radio. So you are around creative types, and I would imagine that helps too, because they have to probably encourage you.
Well, that's exactly what happened. I mean, it's nice to be told you can actually do something well, and my friends have told me that my poetry needs a wider audience, and they all have told me that. That's what's inspired me to carry on. If I was getting no reaction at all, I'd probably have given up by now.
Yeah.
But I've got great feedback, so.
So that helps. So with poetry, I feel like there's a renaissance with poetry, that more people are, not that we ever lost poetry, but I think there's more of a thirst for reading poems and making them your own, or seeing how, like you said with your book, that it touches you in some way. Maybe it makes you cry. Maybe it makes you laugh. Maybe it makes you say, oh, I can relate to that. I think that there's something going on, that we're seeing a new sort of renaissance with poetry. Do you think that?
I agree. Yeah, very much. I mean, poetry, my wife says to me that I used to try and write short stories and start a novel, but she said, your poems work much better because they're short and they're succinct and they hit to the heart straight away without all this, you know, when you're writing a novel, you tend to pad it out, which I don't do that in poetry. And I do think more and more people like that. They like to be able to look at something and go, yeah, I get it. I know exactly what you mean. So, yeah, it's got that instant effect rather than, you know, reading a novel, for example.
Right, absolutely.
Novels are not important. Of course they are.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And so this book, Quarters, you can get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever great books are sold.
It was in Waterstones as well, which is a London bookstore. Probably still get it from there.
All right, so that's great great advice on where you can get it. And, of course, go to the website, britainoflondon.co.uk. Cliff, thank you so much for coming
sorry,
on.
Sorry, I just want to say that Britain's spelled double T-E-N.
Yep, double T-E-N. Yeah. We mentioned that before, so remember that when you go to look for it and look for that film, I Am London. Thanks for coming on.
Well, thank you. It's been a pleasure.
All right, Cliff, thanks so much for that. A couple of things from the man cave, including this. If you're a big baseball fan, sorry, but Major League Baseball has canceled the first regular season series after the MLBPA rejected the league's final proposal. Rob Manfred, the commissioner of Major League Baseball, announced on Tuesday that this is going to happen for the first time in 27 years because it's acrimonious. I mean, the lockout, that's what's happening. The talks have collapsed. He's canceling the first two series of the season. It would have started March 31st, dropping the schedule from 162 games to probably 156 at most. At most is what they're saying. Players are not going to be paid for missed games. And he said the league and the union haven't made plans for future negotiations. So they're supposed to be in spring training. People make plans to go to spring training, especially since we've all been in this lousy pandemic. And the people in Arizona and the people in Florida, in some of those communities, will lose a lot of money because you're not going to have spring baseball. So it's a shame all the way around. It's complicated, the issue with baseball and management, you know, with players and management. Players will collectively lose $20.5 million in salary for every day of the season that's canceled. That's according to the Associated Press, and 30 teams would lose a lot of money. It's hard to pin down how much, but a ton of it. Remember, the first 86 games, if we go way back to the 70s, 1973, were canceled by a strike over pension negotiations. The 81 season was fractured by a 50-day mid-season strike over free agents. The compensation rules. So you get it. I mean, things have happened before. This is a lousy, lousy time for that to go on with baseball because I think, frankly, they need their fans. Tampa Bay fans would love to see Tom Brady, I think, come back. Bruce Arians would love it, too. But it's not happening right now. However, the Bucs coach said that they're going to leave the door open for that possible return. He's under contract despite retiring. They're going to prepare to move on without him. I love this quote from Arians. He said, if Tom wants to come back, we'll have plenty of money for him. That's nice. Well, plenty of money for if you want to come back. Meantime, how about the Packers? And the Packers GM says he's not getting any trade offers from other GMs on Aaron Rodgers. He claimed his phone isn't constantly buzzing with teams calling to ask about their star quarterback, the back-to-back MVP of the NFL. So, I mean, is it just that people are waiting to see what Rodgers decides to do? Is he going to inform the Packers of his decision, whether he wants to play in 2022 or retire? Then submit the trade offers. You know, perhaps he hasn't done it. He hasn't informed the Packers of his intentions, but the GM of the Packers believes the team will know before free agency starts on March 16th. Tick, tick, tick. That's what? 15, 14 days from now. So he's either in or out, and it's going to be that same thing that we had in the offseason, perhaps last time around, where a lot of the conversation is about Aaron Rodgers. All right, hang with us. Peter Marshall's coming up next as we introduce you to another amazing author. Stick with us.
Right. The Tejibo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn what more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Well, what a delight to go to the UK and introduce you to Peter Marshall. He's got really three novels out, a fourth one on the way. We're going to talk about one of them. There are no coincidences, but his background is fascinating. So picture this. He starts out with a local newspaper. He's a reporter. He does a stint in the Navy, then the BBC, and all Americans and people listening in England and other places are certainly aware of the BBC. As a journalist, moves on to editing, and then works on news in a bigger sense in establishing satellites and communication. So what an interesting background. And now to top it off with what I would call the cherry on top, using the creative side of his brain with these novels. So, Peter, thanks so much for coming on. It's great to meet you and introduce you to this audience.
It's a pleasure to meet you, too. And it's nice to talk to someone in the States, which, of course, I know pretty well, having lived there for 14 years of my career.
So in the 14 years of your career, where did you live in the States, and what did you like the best about the States?
We lived in Washington, D.C. We loved the city. It was a great time, and I had a busy life, but it was a great city to live in. It's a very international city, apart from everything else, because there are so many international organizations there, and to work in that community was quite stimulating. I enjoyed America anyway, and it was a good base from which to do a lot of international travel.
Yeah, boy, that's true, isn't it? So tell me about now turning around to writing. What drove you into writing novels?
Well, writing became my retirement hobby. And I had been doing a number of non-fiction books with a colleague of mine in Washington who was also in the satellite business, and we did a number of books related to that business, which were the latest was only last year when we published a book called Safety First, which was recognizing that space travel is now moving into the private sector, and explaining how safety needs to be the fact that controlled in a way that the commercial sector will take seriously and learn from the past history of the whole industry. But that's what that book was about. But meanwhile, I've been drawn into the creative world of fiction, which I have found a lovely escape from the factual world of my other books.
There you go. So now you're in the fiction world, and you've written three books. The fourth book also is on the way as you're working on it. But this book that we're going to talk about, There Are No Coincidences. Tell us about that.
Well, it picks up the spy story that begins in the first two novels, although it does summarize the first two along the way, so it won't upset anyone who hasn't read the first two, but I would obviously like people to read all three. But the third one carries on the story of a British woman in her 30s, a career woman who is tempted to go on a blind date on the internet and meets this handsome Russian who actually turns out to be a spy, where they have had quite a long online relationship. They eventually meet, and that leads to a number of consequences, including an attempt on her life, which almost succeeds, which is why the second book is called Beyond the Funeral, and the third one picks up her activities in a reincarnated form and takes her to Japan, where most of the third book is set, and that's a country which I got to know quite well in my business life. So I set a lot of it in Japan, and it's in that environment that she is used by the CIA to reunite with her old Russian date, who is actually serving in Tokyo. So it's not a coincidence, but it's planned by the CIA and the British Secret Service that this English woman and that Russian spy should actually be in Tokyo together, and they then use her to try and develop a relationship with the Russian, which could be a benefit to the CIA. And that's the way the story develops.
Yes, so fascinating. What do you hope people take away from reading the book?
I hope they'll take away the fact that you never know what to expect next when the Secret Services get into action, which is quite a good basis for novels, because one always likes to be surprised by what happens in the next chapter. And the spy world is a good vehicle for doing that.
Well, no kidding. And I, for one, love the spy world. I love to hear stories about it. Tell us, give us kind of a thumbnail of one and two, your first two books.
The first one was called The Russian Lieutenant, and it starts with the meeting between the Russians, who turns out to be a spy, and the girl who actually works for the British Navy. And it happens in Portsmouth, which is where I lived in earlier years, in the Navy. And that takes them through from their relationship to an attempt on her life. They try to stop her giving evidence when he's caught and appears in court. They fail because, although they have a fake funeral, she is able to be cured by a new antidote for ricin poisoning, which, of course, has been used a few times in the espionage world, mainly by the Russians. And that is how the second book begins, with her recovery from that attempt on to kill her. And the CIA retrain her as a new character with a new name and a new personality and a new appearance. And she goes into action in Canada and in Mexico on assignments for the CIA, which are quite exciting. And at the end of that, because of her successes, they have the basis on which they will then assign her to a new role, which takes her to Tokyo, which, unknown to her, is where her former Russian boyfriend is also based, having been demoted by the Russian government to a lower job.
Wow, fascinating. And I would imagine, is four a departure, or does it continue?
That book completes the sort of relationship between them on the third one. But I'm going to use some of the characters that I've invented in the first three books in the espionage world in my fourth book, which is now in early stages. I've done the first few chapters, and I'm waiting to see where it takes me.
Well, I can certainly say that it looks like fiction has treated you well, because I think you're really enjoying what you're doing. Are you enjoying it?
Very much so. I mean, this is a retirement I didn't imagine, but I'm thoroughly enjoying it. And I've moved recently to live here by the sea. I'm sitting here in my office in my home here, looking out over the English Channel and watching the weather and the ships and the sea. And it's a great way to enjoy retirement.
Good for you. And again, all of Peter's books you can get on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever great books are sold. Look for There Are No Coincidences, and all the other books, too, as well. Peter, thanks so much for joining us.
That's my pleasure, and I've enjoyed meeting you, too, and good luck with your program.
Thank you.
All right, as we wrap up this hour, of course, the big story is the explosions heard outside of Kyiv, airstrikes hitting a Holocaust memorial, a massive Russian convoy just, you know, slowing outside the Ukrainian capital, and a lot of people bracing for more attacks. Very, very sad to see that. And the president, what he had to say in his first State of the Union address, part of it condemning Putin for the unprovoked war. And, you know, we look at what's happening in this situation with Putin, and the West is certainly going after Putin in many, many ways, and whether it's BP and Shell and they're withdrawing contracts and deals that they have with Russia, or if it is in fact other companies who are not doing the importing exporting thing with Russia any longer too. And just those economic sanctions as far as banking is concerned has really put a stranglehold on many, many, many people. And I think what's been interesting is at first it didn't look like there was enough there, but now there certainly is. And it's made a huge difference. And it is the buzz over, okay, how do we shut this guy down? And nuclear war might be unlikely, but it is a threat for many. And to hear even the words mentioned about nuclear war, I think that really caught the attention of a lot of people. The second that started to float, that was when I believe you saw more people get a lot more concerned, if they already weren't, as to what was happening in the Ukraine. I mean, even the United States banned Russian flights from American airspace, and I think we're going to see more tightening in a lot of different directions when it comes to cutting off Russia and cutting off Vladimir Putin. And people are rooting for the Ukrainians who thirst for the democracy they had, for the freedom that they had, that now is collapsing with Putin aggressively invading and blowing up parts of the Ukraine. Very, very sad, sad, sad to see that all play out. All right, thanks to all of you for listening to this version of the show. Keep the Ukrainians in your hearts and mind. Make it count, everybody. Feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. Drinksupertea.com.